this morning, don't they? Thank you, guys. Well, good morning and welcome, everybody. Thank you for coming to worship with us today. You are some hardy souls to get out and brave that weather. I understand that it's already, the temperature is already dropping out there. But anyway, I'm glad that you made the effort to come, and I'm praying that the Lord will bless you because you did. It is a blessing to me to see you all here this morning. If you are our guest today, we surely want to let you know how much we appreciate you being with us. It's a blessing to have folks come and visit our church from time to time, and we're glad you made the decision to do that today. We would really like to have a record of your visit with us so that we can officially acknowledge you being here, and we need some help to do that. If you wouldn't mind, we would appreciate it very much if you would take this little tab that's on your bulletin or find one of those little guest cards that's in the back of the pew close to where you're sitting, just like that one, that's right, and put some contact information about you on there so that we can just send you a note or an email or a call or a text and let you know that we appreciate you being here and offer you an opportunity to learn some more about our church if you would like to. There's a couple of things you can do with that card. You can either put it in the offering plate when it comes by, or better yet, if you will take it to the lobby when the service is over and go to the welcome station, you can exchange it for a gift right there. And we would appreciate that very much. But it's a blessing to see all of you today. Thank you for coming. Let me share a couple of things with you before we get started with our worship time. One, there will be no services here this evening. So when we're done with this service, we're done for the day. Be careful out there tonight because I understand that the weather is supposed to get colder as you go, and that means there may be some icing on the bridges and things like that. So be careful, but also be careful because, you know, it is New Year's Eve, and there's going to be a lot of folks out there celebrating maybe in not such appropriate ways. So watch out for them because they might not be watching out for you. Also, don't forget that next Sunday, the first Sunday in January, we're having a special Sunday school emphasis day. All of our classes are going to be, we're going to set aside our regular Sunday school curriculum and teach a lesson about the importance of Sunday school. We have a high attendance goal of 300 people in Sunday school. That sounds like a big number given that we've been running about 220 in Sunday school, but that's a very attainable goal. If everybody in our church shows up for Sunday school and you bring some people with you, we'll have more than 300 people here for Sunday school. So round up those folks who are should be in your Sunday school class, but maybe you haven't seen them in a few weeks, and also invite a special friend or a neighbor or a coworker to come that day. It's going to be a great day. We'll try to get a big crowd out here. Also want to let you know that the Christmas card box is still in the lobby, and some of you have not yet picked up all of your Christmas cards. That's going to be there through next Sunday afternoon. So if you want to get those Christmas cards, and you should, somebody loved you enough to send you one, so go back there and pick those up, and then the box will be gone after next Sunday. But anyway, it's a blessing to see all of you. I hope that you have a wonderful New Year celebration and that the coming year is everything that you hope it will be. So let's pray and ask God to help us as we worship him this morning. Father, thank you for all your blessings. I'm blessed, Lord, to be in your house this morning. I'm grateful for the people who have come for this time of worship. And we just ask that through the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you will direct our worship time today, that we will worship you in ways that would be pleasing to you and that would serve to strengthen our faith and help us move in your direction, that would serve to draw people to Jesus and that he would receive great glory in this place today. And we'll thank you for all these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Brother Todd.
Well, good morning to you. It's good to see you this morning. Somebody asked me, said, I've never seen you with a beard before. I said, well, it used to come in red, and something happened. My wife used to always harass me when I would grow one, and she'd say, you need to cut that thing off, and I'd kind of ignore her. And then when my little girl was little, I went to kiss her goodnight, and she turned her head. She said, don't get near me with that thing. So I promptly went and shaved it off. So that's what. But anyway, it's good to see you this morning. Good to have you worshiping with us. Let's stand together. Take a moment and fellowship with those around you. And then in just a moment, you join us, we share together.
Okay, thanks up for
well,
it.
Well, happy birthday. How old will you be?
14. Yeah. How about your birthday on Tuesday?
12. Turn your mic on. Because Hannah's like, I hear her out there. No, I'm just joking.
Well, I will.
Let's sing together.
Lord, I lift your name on high.
remember in this Christmas season, this New Year season, all the many blessings you've given us, most importantly, Jesus. I pray that our giving would be from a heart filled with love and reverence and worship and thanks for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Scripture says, without a vision, the people perish. I guess my question this morning is, what is your vision for your life in 2018? What is your vision for this church in 2018? Your family, maybe your job, your Sunday school. As we, Brother Mel, spoke earlier about Sunday school attendance beginning next Sunday. What is your vision? Where do you see yourself at the end of 2018? As we sing this song, this is an old hymn that some of you may have never heard before, Be Thou My Vision. And it simply shares about, Lord, be the vision of my life this year as I go through it throughout 2018. May everything I do, everything I say, all of my friendships, all of my relationship with you especially, may you be our vision this year as we witness together, as we share together, and as we worship together. Let's worship together.
Bye.
worship.
And here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely. You're altogether worthy. Altogether wonderful to me.
I'd like to open the altar up to you. Those of you who want to come and lay your burdens here. Prayer request, your desires for 2018. We open the altar up to you. Rest of you may be seated.
Father, just thank you for this day and this time and privilege we have to gather together here as your people, Lord. I just pray for those who couldn't be with us today or sick or traveling. I just pray that you would be with them, keep them safe, and bring them back, Lord. As we come to this time where we open your word, I pray that you just speak to us, give Brother Mel the words you'd have for us. Help us to lock it into our hearts and carry it with us as we go through our lives this week and through the rest of this new year. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to ask the choir if they would go ahead and join you in the congregation and open it up to our children to go to the children's church. Follow Miss Maggie out this way. And as they're going, I want to share just these girls down here. We were singing Heart of Worship just a moment ago. Girls, I could hear you all over everybody. Thank you all for worshiping and sharing with us. If we could all sing like they do, like the young people do, it would be a beautiful sound here. So thank you for sharing. You know, I was in a church, or talking to somebody who's was in a church, and their church was kind of doing some more courses and stuff. And this guy's mother, she was very elderly, and she said, "I just don't like all these courses and stuff that we're doing." He said, "Mama," he said, "as we're singing them," he said, "look around at the young people. Look and see which ones they sing." He said, "And I believe the old hymns are important. We will do them," he said, "but look around and see the enjoyment they get out of singing, the songs they hear on a daily basis. Listen to K-Love, listen to the other channels, and listen to them worship together." I want to sing this chorus again, Heart of Worship. Let's just sing this chorus again. Just lift your voices to the Lord this morning as we worship together.
And here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to sing.
Father, we thank you for great songs that have been written. Father, songs that honor you. And Father, I pray as we continue in this service that everything that we say, everything that we sing, everything that comes through the lips of Brother Mel over the next few moments will be worthy, will be uplifting to you and convicting to us. And Father, may you be our vision as we go into this new year. In your name we pray, amen. You may be seated.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Todd. Thank you, band. And thank you, ladies. I can hear y'all singing, too. And Jonah was in there with you, too. What could we call that group? Jonah and the what? Y'all work on that. I think we need to have them on the platform singing. Take your Bibles and turn and find Psalm 119. Psalm 119. While you're looking for Psalm 119, I want to say thank you for all of the gifts and the goodies and the treats and the things that you gave me and Annette for Christmas. Thank you for all of it except the 5 extra pounds that I have with me today. I had to break out a pair of big boy britches this morning. But I got a plan for that starting tomorrow. I know how to deal with that. Somehow it's harder to get rid of 5 pounds than it is to find it, though. Anybody else find that to be true? We had a good time this week. Thank you for letting us take a little time off. Thanks to Brother Jeff Epling for filling in for me on Wednesday evening. We went to the beach with some of our children and grandchildren, and you will be happy to know that the weather at the beach was exactly like it has been here, cold and rainy. We weren't even able to get out there until the morning when we were about to come home. As is always the case for us when we go to the beach, it was beautiful the day we left. It was probably 60 degrees out there by the time we left and sunshiny. We could have stayed out there and played all day, but we had a good time. I told a few people in Sunday school and other ways, if you're ever in Mobile, Alabama, they got a great museum there that you need to go see. I think it's called the Explorium. Got some really cool exhibits in there. I think I enjoyed that more than the children and the grandchildren did. But anyway, what are you laughing? You can always tell when you're messing up when your wife is laughing at you for some reason. So whatever I did wrong, sorry. Have you found Psalm 119? Let's pray. Father, thank you for everything that you bless us with. Thank you for the opportunity to be here and worship you today. And as Todd said so well this morning, there are lots of ways to worship you. There are different kinds of music in which to worship you. Lord, we've worshiped you through our singing and through our giving, through our prayer, our fellowship with one another, through our study in Sunday school and our interaction with our classmates there. And now we have gathered to worship you through this time we call preaching. And preaching really only takes place, Lord, we know, when your Holy Spirit takes control of the speaker and the hearers, so that what is said is right and what is heard is acknowledged and applied. And I humbly ask that your Holy Spirit will overwhelm us during this time of our worship gathering, so that truth and only that will be conveyed, and that we will see practical opportunities to apply what we learn here today, in which we will take those opportunities, and it will change the way we live so that we'll be more effective in serving you in this coming new year that is right here upon us, as well as it will serve to bring glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus, not only today, but throughout our lives. Let it be that all of us will be drawn closer to him today than ever before through this time. And I'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you are a student of the Psalms, you probably know that Psalm 119 is not only the longest psalm of all of them, but it is also the longest chapter in the Bible with 176 verses. It is a very unique piece of literature in that it is what is called an acrostic psalm. That is, it is made up of 22 different stanzas, each stanza representing one of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And if that were not cool enough and difficult enough to write, the writer was also such a good writer that he went to the point of taking each one of the 8 verses in each of the 22 stanzas and starting that particular verse in the Hebrew version now with the same letter of the alphabet that corresponds to that stanza. Y'all get all that? There will be a pop quiz at the end of the session. It is an incredibly well-written and well-thought-out piece of literature. It's a psalm about the value and the excellence of God's Word. Listen to this. One of the ways we know that is that in almost every single one of the 176 verses, there's only a few that you can find, but in almost every one of those 176 verses, there is a synonym for the Torah, which was a Hebrew word that meant the sacred law, or to the writer of this particular psalm, which nobody really knows for sure who it was. Many people think that King David wrote it, but whoever wrote it was trying to express their love for God's Word. And so in all of those verses, they put a synonym for the word Torah, or the word law, in essence, they were trying to convey in every single verse how much value they placed on God's Word. In essence, this psalm, after the first couple of stanzas, is a prayer that God would grant to the author and to anybody who read it the courage, the opportunity, the wisdom, the intellect, the ability, if you will, to not only know what God's Word was, but to be able to apply it to their life so that they would become, as the psalmist says in this beautiful written piece of literature, excellent and perfect themselves, and consequently reap the benefits of a life lived with the practical application of God's Word. In fact, the psalmist does something very neat for us and sums up what the benefits of doing that would be in the very first stanza. In fact, in the first six verses of Psalm 19, this is what the psalmist said. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. Now, the way, that's one of the synonyms for the law of God or the Torah. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. You have commanded us to keep Your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Your statutes. And what would be the benefit? He said in verse 6, then I would not be ashamed when I look into all Your commandments. The psalmist goes on from there to ask God to help him keep His Word so that he can come to the point in his life where there is no shame. He said, if I could just live in Your statutes, I would not be ashamed, and my life would be everything that it was supposed to be. Huh. Let's think about that for a moment. What if in 2018, every single one of us made the highest priority of our year learning what God's Word says and applying it to the way we live? Do you think it would have any effect on the quality of our life? Let me make it a little easier for you. What if you just began to apply the truth of God's Word that you already know? Just forget about studying and learning something new. What if you applied every single tidbit of truth that you already know about God's Word to the way you live? Where you know God's Word says don't, you didn't in 2018. What if where God's Word says you should, you did in 2018? Think it would have any effect on the quality of your life? That is exactly what the psalmist is trying to convey. He wants us to know and to understand that our best life is found not in our ability to manifest something good happening, but our best life now is in applying God's truth to the way we live. And if we would just do that, we could come to the point in our life where we would be living undefiled lives, we would be secure in our salvation, and as the psalmist said so well there, we would not be ashamed in any way as we stand for God. That's kind of the gist of Psalm 119. So throughout the entire psalm then, the psalmist is saying over and over and over in almost every verse how much he loves God's Word and that his great desire is to apply God's Word to the way he lives. But for all that he had to say in those 176 verses, 22 stanzas that are so beautifully written in such a technical way, one verse resonates in my heart today on New Year's Eve more than any, and it's verse 89 in Psalm 119. Listen to this. He wrote in verse 89, forever. Everybody say forever. How long? Forever, O Lord, he said, your word is settled in heaven. I don't know about you, but on the last day of an old year and on the first day of a new year, that verse has really brought me a lot of comfort, especially with some of the stuff that has gone on this year. That verse is the basis for what I want to call our big idea for today. So here it is. Write this down. Because God's word is settled, because God's word is settled in heaven forever, there is no need for me to worry about the future. Now, a new year is a time of great anticipation for a lot of people. You got some big plans for this year. We are anticipating the arrival of a brand new grandchild in May. I'm fired up about that because I'm the best grandpa in the history of the world. I know some of you think you got it figured out, but you could learn some stuff from me. I'm excited about a new grandchild. Annette and I, God willing, and you don't fire me, we're planning on building a house this summer. And I'm be glad to get that off my agenda, I'll be honest with you. It's an exciting time to face a new year, to be thinking about all that a new year might bring. Perhaps you're planning on getting married in the new year. Maybe you're going to have a child. Maybe you're going to adopt a child. Maybe you're going to graduate from college. Maybe you're going to start a new business. Maybe, I don't know what you're anticipating, but perhaps there is something big going to happen in your life this year that you are anticipating, and it's going to be a brand new life for you. New year is a time of great anticipation, but for some, it can also be a time of great anxiety. A new year, entering into that new year with some of the things that we expect are coming down the highway toward us may cause anxiety. Some of the same things that we anticipate with such joy sometimes cause anxiety. A new child can cause anxiety. A new season of life. I don't know, maybe you're going to retire this year. Maybe you're going to start a new venture and there's a little anxiety. But maybe even worse than that, maybe you or somebody in your family are really sick. And so you got some stress about that right now. As you look forward to the new year, you wonder, can things get any better? You know, I got some dear friends in my life right now. I mean, they are sick. And the new year is just not bringing a lot of joy to them because it just seems like a continuation of all the struggle that they have been through this year. Maybe you're facing a situation like that. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you're entering into the new year and you got some kind of financial difficulty in your life. Listen, there was a time in my life when I walked through that valley. That's a bad place to be. You know, that's difficult. Maybe there's a strain in your marriage. Maybe there's a strain between you and one of your children or you and your parent. Maybe you got trouble at work. I don't know. Maybe there's something that's causing you to have some anxiety about the new year. Maybe when you look at the political climate of our country, like I do sometimes, and you see how divided we really are as a people, I mean, it seems like everybody's lining up on opposite sides in our country, and we're no longer pulling together. Everybody's at each other's throats about every little thing and over nothing. You look at the worldwide activities as far as politics are concerned, it looks like we're all sitting on a bomb waiting on it to explode. Causes a little bit of anxiety. Now, in the first group this morning in the early service, I said to the crowd there, y'all know that I have three grandchildren. I got scolded, and I should have said that Annette and I have three grandchildren, and in fact, we are looking forward to having a fourth one. We have them together. Those little boys, I mean, they are absolutely the joy of my life. And like every good grandfather, I brought pictures today. I want to show them to you. The first one, the oldest one, his name is Hardy. That's him. He'll be three at the end of this month. He's in that picture, he's doing his very favorite thing in life to do, play in the dirt. That kid is happy playing in the dirt. The next oldest one is Arlie, who most of y'all know. He's doing his favorite thing, which is eating the dirt. See it all over his mouth? He loves to eat dirt. We have to take rocks out of his mouth anytime he's outside. He vitamin deficiency or something. And then the youngest one is Hayden. We call him Mr. Nosy, because this is the expression on his face all the time. He's all the time rubbernecking, breaking his neck, trying to see what Hardy and Arlie are doing or what anybody's doing. Those boys bring me so much joy in my life. I'm telling you, if I'm on the phone with you and one of them shows up, our conversation is over, because I'm going to play with them. The whole world can shut down when those boys come around, and that's all I'm interested in. But for as much joy as they bring me, I would be less than honest today to say to you that if I didn't say to you that I sometimes really worry about those boys. You know, they are growing up in a world that's very different from the one that I grew up in. When I think about all the stuff there is out there that is coming their way that I didn't have to experience as a child, it scares me. And it makes me worry a little bit. You know, I read not too long ago that in the United States of America, by the time they have reached 11 years old, that almost every single child has been exposed to pornography, offered the opportunity to consume alcohol and or illegal drugs by the time they're 11 years old. Now, you may think that you have your family sheltered from that. My word of caution is to you, don't be naive. Don't be naive. There's a lot of bad stuff out there that are being forced on our children at very young ages. That scares me, and it makes me worry for my grandsons. The threat of terrorism is around us all the time. You know, I told you about our little beach trip just the other day. One of the things you got to go do when you go to the Gulf Coast in Orange Beach there is you got to go to the Tanger Outlet Mall in Foley, right? I would rather have a stick in the eye. Thank you. But we did it. And it was a fun family day. You know, we're kind of in our little groups going. I took one of the grandsons, and we were riding all the little ride machines out in front of the stores. And we made that tour. And that was fun. But I found myself being in that crowd, and there was a lot of people there that day because there wasn't nothing else to do because it was raining at the beach. But I found myself, when somebody was walking our way, like, what's this guy up to? You know, is that a bad guy? I was kind of stressing about being in the crowd because of all the potential for harm that sometimes can come our way just because we're in a crowd of people. And I guess Satan was kind of messing with my head a little bit. It took some of the joy out of what should have been a wonderful family outing and a good day with my grandchildren. Anxiety, we worry sometimes. That's why when I read Psalm 119, verse 89, I got a little fired up and greatly encouraged. And I want you to be encouraged today and to realize that what our big idea is true. That because God's word is settled in heaven forever, we don't really have to worry about anything. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have to be concerned about what's going on in the world. You ought to be concerned that somebody's trying to expose your 11-year-old kid to pornography or drugs or alcohol. You ought to be concerned about that. But you don't have to worry about it, because God's word is settled. And all of a sudden, when we begin to explore God's word and see what all it says and learn what the psalmist is trying to teach us in Psalm 119, that if we will just apply God's word's truth to the way we live, all of a sudden the blessings of God begin to come in our life and our eternal futures and destinies are secure. For example, think about this jewel from God's word. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7. This one resonated in my heart this week because of my interaction with my grandchildren. It says, the righteous man walks in his integrity. And look at that last line. His children are blessed after him. That says to me that because God, that's part of God's word. And that is settled. I don't have to worry about my children. I just have to apply the truth of God's word to the way I live. The righteous man walks in his integrity. How are you ever going to be righteous? Apply the truth of God's word. That says to me that come what may, no matter what the circumstances may have to offer in 2018, no matter what my children may get into or out of, they're going to be blessed after me. That brings me a lot of comfort. You know, earlier I said that maybe you are entering into 2018 with money troubles. You know, you got financial difficulties. Listen to this jewel from God's word. Psalm 37, verse 25 says, I have been young and now am old. Is that anybody else's testimony other than mine? That resonated in my heart when I read that. I have been young and now am old. Yet, the psalmist said, I have not seen the righteous forsaken. That means God's not going to let you go under. Nor his descendants begging for bread. God's word is settled in heaven forever. That verse, Psalm 37, verse 25, is true. And if you will believe it, you won't be forsaken. Though you may have struggles, you're not going to be forsaken, and your descendants are not going to be begging for bread. What God is trying to say to us through the psalmist is that if we will apply truths like these to our lives, all of a sudden our lives get better. You know, it could be that you have anxiety entering into the new year because you're struggling with some addiction or some habitual sin or maybe just a bad habit that you would like to quit. I think if we were honest, all of us would say that there's probably something like that in our life that we would like to do better with. You know, I have the opportunity being a pastor to talk with people from time to time about their struggles. And sometimes people say to me, I can't get past this. This has been a struggle for me my whole life. I just can't get past it. Well, if that's how you feel, you're not really applying the truth of God's word to the way you live. Because the Bible says to us in one place through the words of the Apostle Paul in chapter 4 of the book of Philippians, verse 13, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, the context of that verse was that the Apostle Paul was thanking the Philippian church for helping him in a time of difficulty, but that prompted him to remember and to acknowledge and want to share with them that he had learned to even go through great financial difficulty for the cause of Christ. And so in that regard, he was right. He could do all things through Christ that strengthened him, and so can you. You know, I've heard had people say to me, the devil just tempts me to do that with which I am weak, and he knows I'm going to fail every time. Well, the Bible, God's word, as the psalmist is trying to get us to acknowledge, also has a remedy for that. James said in James chapter 4, verse 7, listen to this. He said, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Did you notice the order of the commands in that verse and what the result are if you apply the commands to your life in the proper order? He didn't say, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Has anybody here found the devil to be a better opponent than you are? When you have tried to bow up on Satan yourself and fight against that thing which he troubles you with and tempts you with, though you've made a plan and a determination to do better, you find yourself failing and going right back to that same old thing that you're addicted to or struggle with? Well, I don't see anybody raising their hand or amening, but I do. I struggle with that. I have found that Satan will beat me every time when I try to fight him on my own. And that's why James, in his wisdom, said, submit to God first. What does it mean to submit to God? It means give Christ and the essence of him that comes to us through the power of his Holy Spirit, give him lordship. Give him the ruling authority over our life, and whatever his Spirit leads us to do, submit to that. Be honest. When you're getting ready to commit that same old habitual sin, take another drink and you don't really want to. Don't you know that you shouldn't? And isn't God, through the power of his Holy Spirit, screaming in your heart, don't do that? You have to submit to God. And then the devil will flee from you. That is how you apply the truth of God's word to your life. Through diligent Bible study, God reveals his best life for you and me. Only thing we have to do is apply it to the way we live by making a conscious decision to follow His Holy Spirit. What did Jesus say? If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross one time. Is that what He said? He said daily. I don't know about you, but for me, it's like moment by moment. I can do it one time or in the morning, and that'll last to maybe the first coffee break. Maybe. I have to deny myself constantly because myself is always saying, go this way, go the devil's way. Go the worldly way. Cater to your flesh. Do what everybody else in your season of life is doing. Chase the American dream. That's what my flesh, that's what the devil is encouraging me to do. And so I have to submit myself to God and resist the devil. Then he will flee from me. That's what God's word says. And the psalmist said in 119 verse 89, that is settled in heaven. Now think about what I'm saying to you. If it's true and it's settled in heaven, if you will apply it to the way you live and if I apply it to the way I live, it will work. Man, that was a good place to say amen. I don't think any of you are awake today. It will work. It will work if you will apply it to the way you live. You can overcome any addiction, any habitual sin, any struggle in life if you will submit yourself to God first and then do the work to resist the devil. He will flee from you. So I don't have to worry about temptation that comes my way. I just have to apply that principle from God's word to the way I live my life. If I'm worried about the future, it says that I have either forgotten about or don't really believe what God's word says about my future. God's word, the psalmist says, is settled in heaven. Let me remind you of what Jesus said about the future for those of you who believe. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, Jesus said, behold, I am coming quickly. Think about that now. I don't know what quickly means in the context of the Lord Jesus Christ's timing. It would suit me just fine if quickly meant today. You know, when I was a younger man, which has been quite a few years ago now, I remember guys who were my age saying, I wish the Lord would come back today. And I was like, what? I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to go today. Seemed like there was an old country song about that. Lord, I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to go today. Who wrote that? Who sang that song? Joe Diffie, right? Look it up on Google. I remember hearing people say that. And I was like, I don't want to go to heaven today. But I'm telling you, it would suit me just fine if Jesus would show up before I get through with this sermon. And I know all of you are thinking, so would we. That would be awesome. What a great way to start the new year. Listen, Jesus said, I'm coming quickly. That's God's word, and that is settled in heaven. In God's timing, Jesus is going to return and take us out of this mess quickly. And he said, my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. Listen to this. He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, beginning and ending of the Hebrew alphabet. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Nice tie-in to Psalm 119. Thank you, Lord, for that. Listen to verse 14. Blessed are those who do his commandments. What's the psalmist trying to teach us to do in Psalm 119? Understand the value of God's word, his commandments, and apply it to the way we live our life. Blessed are those who do his commandments that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. What he's saying is that for those of us who have understood and applied the great truth of God's word, that we must bow to the lordship of Jesus and receive his grace and his forgiveness and be saved, we're the ones that are going to be in heaven. Amen? But look at verse 15. Not everybody's going to make it. Because John also went on to record that outside of heaven are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I think that was his summation of a bunch of broad categories of unrepentant sinners. Listen, don't believe the lie that everybody's going to heaven. Everybody's not going to heaven. Those who have learned what God's word says and apply it to the way they live, They are the ones who are going to heaven, beginning with bowing to the Lordship of Christ. You see, were it not for the fact that I said yes to Jesus one day, I would be in the number of verse 15. But I bowed to the Lordship of Jesus Christ one day in the summer of 1976, which I think somebody calculated was 41 years ago, right over there at Colola Springs Baptist Church. Reverend Jim Varnin. Anybody remember Jim Varnin in this room? I see a couple hands going up. He was given an invitation for people to respond to his presentation of the gospel. And God's Holy Spirit said, Mel, you need to bow to the Lordship of Jesus and be saved. And I didn't understand much about it then, and I don't know much about it today, other than I believe that I don't have to worry about the future because I have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ when I bowed to his Lordship. That's how a person gets saved. The great apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. You hear that? The Lord Jesus. That's what the Lord's trying to get us to see in Revelation. It's what the psalmist is trying to get us to say in Psalm 119. The key to being saved is to make Jesus the Lord of your life. And when you bow to his Lordship and you believe that God raised him from the dead through his grace and his mercy and the work that he did on Calvary's cross, not on any work you're going to do, he begins to see you as somebody who perfectly keeps his commands, like verse 14 says you must. And that gives you a ticket to get into that city, New Jerusalem, that's being described in Revelation chapter 22. So let me ask you here on the last day of 2017, what are you worried about? If you've given your life to Christ, bow to his Lordship, you are applying the truth of his word to the way you live, you need not worry about anything. Be concerned, sure. Do all you can to make it better. Submit to God. Resist the devil means trust God, work real hard. That's what it means. But understand that because of your confession of faith in Christ, your eternal destiny is settled in heaven, and that's forever. And you don't have to worry about your grandchildren. You just got to apply God's word to the way you live, which includes teaching them about Christ too. So how's it stand with you today? If the Lord did show up, are you going with him? Or are you going to be outside? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the comfort you have given me this week. Lord, I admit that at times I stress and worry about what may be coming in this world. Not so much for me, but for the people I love and care about. But I'm beginning to understand that that's sin. It shows a lack of trust in you. Thank you for reminding me this week that your word is settled in heaven. Nothing will trump that. All I need to do is apply its great truth to the way I live, and me and my family will be just fine, both now and throughout eternity. I pray that your Holy Spirit will help somebody else catch that great comfort today. Help people in this room to analyze their life and make sure that they have bowed to the Lordship of Jesus. And if not, help them to see that the very best thing that could happen in this quiet moment would be for them to come and do just that. What an incredible way to start a new year with an eternal future that is settled in heaven. Let it be so, and I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing a hymn of invitation. This is an opportunity for you to come and offer your life to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia. to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you.
God bless you. Thank you for coming today. Have fun out there tonight, but be careful because not everybody will be being careful. Don't forget, no services here this evening. And please come to Sunday school next week and bring somebody with you. Let's pack the house out for that great lesson that we're going to have. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Happy New Year. Brother Jesse Riggs, would you pray and dismiss us, please?
Heavenly Father.